And this morning, I want to talk to you about what it means to come to a sense of rest. I want to visit with you, both men and women, young men and young women, about finding your soul's rest in Jesus. Now, I don't want to sound spiritual and miss you, so let me define what I mean when I say soul's rest. The soul in Scripture, the Hebrew word nephesh, means you. It's who you are. It's not some immaterial, invisible ghost that lives apart from your body. When the Bible speaks of the soul, it speaks of you. So I ask again the question, have you found real, true rest in Christ? Now, you know what physical rest is. I mean, you go out and you mow the yard and you come in and you get a nice cold beverage and you sit down and relax. There's a sense of satisfaction and job well done, contentment, and you're at rest. Ladies, maybe you get a craft, you work with your hands, and I mean, you're just content and you're at peace. You know what it means to be at rest physically. I'm asking you, are you at rest with God? All the time. Do you have a sense of contentment in your intimacy with Him? Have you come to the place where your soul is at peace, where you truly are comfortable in your own skin with God? Well, let's take a look. Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, now it happened that Jesus was passing through some grain fields on a Shabbat or Sabbath, and his disciples were picking the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands, and eating the grain or the meal. And some of the Pharisees who were standing nearby said, "Why do you do what is not lawful on the Shabbat or the Sabbath, the day of rest?" And Jesus answering them said, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for any to eat except the priests alone, and then David gave it to his companions?" And Jesus repeatedly said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Now, what's happening in our text is that Jesus and his followers, on a Saturday, that's the Jewish Shabbat, the Sabbath, the day of rest, they're walking through a cornfield, and they're hungry. And so the disciples begin to rub the corn in their hands, making some meal and eating the grain. And the Pharisees, standing close by, watch and then say to Jesus, "Why do you do what is not lawful on the day of rest?" Now, in order to understand this question, you have to have a little bit of background regarding the Jewish Shabbat or Sabbath. According to Jewish oral law, Jews couldn't walk more than 2,000 cubits on Saturday, their day of rest. Now, a cubit in Scripture refers to about 18 inches, but it's an old-fashioned measurement where an average-sized man would take his arm and from the tip of his elbow to the tip of his finger, he would lay it down. That's about 18 inches, again, for the average-sized man. And then he would measure using a cubit. 2,000 cubits is about 3,000 feet. And so about half a mile, give or take a few hundred feet, that's as far as you could walk on Saturday. That was one of the Jewish laws. Now, you couldn't find this in the Old Testament. This was an oral law. Also, the Pharisees had told the Jews that they couldn't gather or harvest food on Saturday. And there were hundreds of other laws that were added into the Jewish culture when Jesus began calling his disciples. And so the Pharisees are watching Jesus and his Jewish followers very closely. And they know that on that particular Saturday, Jesus and his disciples have violated this law. And I'm going to quote it. It's from the Mishnah. "He that reaps corn on the Sabbath is guilty, and plucking corn is reaping." Now, the Mishnah is, again, the oral law of the Jews. It's not in the Bible, but it's their culture. It's the way they lived. And basically, what Jews did when they passed down these oral laws is they helped people define how spiritual they were, how holy they were, how acceptable to God they were by their obedience to these laws. And so the Pharisees say to Jesus and his followers, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the day of rest? You are guilty." Now, before we condemn them, let me remind you, this is a lot like what we Baptists do. We gather up our traditions, and maybe they're not written down, but at least they're spoken and passed down from one generation to another. And we basically measure spirituality of other people by their obedience to those traditions, those church laws. Man, when I was growing up, if you went to the movies, I mean, that was equivalent to murder. I mean, anybody that drank a glass of wine is like robbing a bank. Anybody going to a dance? I mean, they might as well have been an adulterer. Now, again, nothing in Scripture about these traditions or laws. Oh, but they're passed down. And if you were a Baptist in those days, basically you measured your acceptance before God, your spirituality, your holiness, by your obedience to these laws. Let me show you that the Pharisees are a picture of people who do not have any soul rest at all. For you see, anytime you desire to control the behavior of other people and point your finger at others, it's a symptom of my own lack of internal soul rest. When I'm concerned about you and your behavior and asking you the question, why are you doing what is unlawful, whatever that law may be, it's a sign that I'm not at rest. And this is what the Pharisees were doing to Jesus. The Lord had already said to his people, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, My Sabbaths are designed so that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you." The Shabbat, or the Sabbath, was basically a picture to the Jews that they were to rest in the work of God on their behalf. For Christ, the Scripture says, is the summation of the law for righteousness to those who believe. Here's what that means. When you come to know Jesus, when you put your faith in Him, the end of the law occurs. Everything associated with perfect obedience to the law of God is yours because of your faith in Christ. So therefore, now watch this, the only way you and I will ever enter into true rest is when we come to the place of seeing Jesus alone as our rest, not our performance to any laws, be they the churches or even laws found in Scripture. Let me show you what I mean. The basis of the Apostle Paul saying, let no one judge you in terms of what you eat or drink, or in respect of any holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath, which are but a shadow of things to come. But the substance, the body, is Jesus Christ. Paul is saying simply this. When you take the laws, like the Sabbath laws, and you set them out and add to them, because in your mind you're saying, okay, if the Bible says don't do this on the Sabbath, then why don't we just add about another 694 laws so that we can be more holy on the Sabbath than what the Bible requires? If you are looking to your performance and obedience to any law to find rest with God, you're missing Jesus, whom the laws of the Sabbath point to, because you're focusing on your performance. And when you focus on your performance, you begin to point your finger at people who don't perform like you. And so others become the issue. So let's take a look and see how Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. The scripture teaches us that true soul rest is in Christ, and this rest is pictured by the old covenant Sabbath laws. When they asked Jesus the question, why do you do what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Jesus gives them an answer. He tells them about this man. Have you not heard of David and his men and what they did? And then he tells a story that every Pharisee would have been familiar with. Every Jew in Jesus' day knew by heart. Now, today you probably don't know the story, so I'm going to tell it to you. Jesus summarizes it. Basically, what happened was David and his men, way back in Old Testament times, you read about it in the Old Testament, they were hungry. And on the Sabbath day, David took his men to this place, the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle, the holiest place in Old Covenant Israel. Within this tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. You know the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? It was the place where the blood on the Day of Atonement was sprinkled on top of the mercy seat, and then God descended in the Shekinah glory and communed, talked with the high priest as a friend would with a friend in that tent right there. It was the Holy of Holies. When you walked inside that tent, and nobody could go in but the Levites, the sons of Levi, the priests of Israel. When you walked right inside the tent, there was first the holy place, and in that room was bread called showbread. It was holy bread. Only the Levites could eat it. By law, listen, by God's law, by Old Testament law, only the Levites could eat the showbread. What would happen is every Saturday, every Sabbath, fresh bread would be brought into the holy place, and it would stay there for a week on the table. In that room, the holy place, there was a candelabra that gave light. It was the candelabra in Scripture is always a picture of the Spirit of God. And I could take you through the Old Testament and show you how the candelabra pictures the Spirit. The oil, the light, the fire pictures God's Spirit. But what's amazing about that bread that sat on the table of showbread for 7 days is that it never went stale. It was always fresh. Now, I don't know about you, but when I leave bread on the counter, it grows stale really quickly. But this is a beautiful picture that the bread, which is, of course, a picture of the Word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, you eat his bread. It is always fresh when the Spirit of God illuminates truth to your mind. When you join the Word and the Spirit, the Bible is never boring. There's life in it. But nobody could eat this bread but the priests. And on this particular Shabbat, David and his men are near Nob, where the tabernacle has been erected. And they are hungry. And the Bible says that Ahimelech, the high priest, meets David David says, my men are starving. They go into the tent in violation of the law of God, and they take the bread and they eat it, and they are blessed by God. Now, what is Jesus doing? Well, the Bible says nothing about picking corn on the Sabbath, reaping corn. That's the oral tradition of the Jews. But the Pharisees are pointing their finger at Jesus, saying, why do you do that which is unlawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus responds with a question. Have you not heard about David? David went into the holiest place of Israel, and he ate the showbread, which by the law of God was designed for only the Levites. They were arguing a lesser point, and he was showing them the major point. And then he says, I am the Lord of the Shabbat. In other words, the Shabbat was never designed for people to live by rules in order to find rest. The Shabbat was designed to picture Jesus, where true rest is found. Now, this is good news for those of you who have broken the law of God in such ways that even in secret you have a tendency to blush when you think about it. You've broken not just one of the Ten Commandments, you may have broken several of them. Some of you who have had secret abortions and you have been plagued with the guilt of murdering a child, let me remind you that David went in to the tent breaking the law of the Sabbath, and he found rest and contentment because the Lord of the Sabbath is the only one who can give you true rest. To whatever extent you have lived your life believing that your performance and obedience to any law, whether church-made or God-given, brings you ultimate rest, you will find yourself turning into a Pharisee. But when you come to the place of realizing that Jesus alone gives rest, and you come to Jesus as your Lord, and you believe that he fulfilled the law, God himself, Emmanuel, came to earth, God with us, the Creator who sustains all things, he lived a perfect life. He died a substitutionary death. He died in my place, bearing the penalty of my violations of the law of God. Now, through his resurrection and my faith in him, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now at work within me, convincing me of this truth. Come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. What does this rest look like? Number one, I am free. I am free from the expectation that my performance to any law, man-made or God-given, is the foundation of my acceptance with the Lord of the Sabbath. Because I have begun to understand that my acceptance of the Lord is through my faith and following of Jesus. I am his, and he is mine. I am free. I told the second service that there's a song that we're going to sing in just a moment here in this service called Blessed Assurance. And frankly, I wasn't really sure of the words. And sometimes when I'm not sure, I don't sing the words because I'm thinking on them. And you say, well, why don't you change them if you don't think they're right? Well, that's not my place. We're not a cult. You can figure it out yourself. If you want to sing, sing. If not, don't. But the trouble that I had, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Perfect submission. My soul is at rest. Perfect submission. And see, in my mind, I was thinking, is that him saying, I am in perfect submission to God? If it is, I cannot sing it. Because it is not my perfect submission to any law that brings me true rest. I don't know that I have ever been perfectly submitted to God in anything. Oh, but you know what? Man, I'm free. I am free to just receive His love. I am free to be comfortable in my own skin and know that Jesus loves me and is helping me and is guiding me, and my performance to any law has nothing to do with His relationship with me. Because He fulfilled the law in my stead, and all the Sabbath laws are a picture of Him. Now I rest. Now, after the second service, someone texted me who was watching, I think, online, and said, you know, I don't take that song that way. It's one of my favorites. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And she said that what I see is that that song is proclaiming the perfect submission of Jesus Christ. I like that. I like that. If that's what that song is proclaiming, I'll sing it to the top of my lungs. For you see, He is my rest. I am content in Him. He has perfectly fulfilled the law. I am free. I'm fulfilled. I'm fulfilled. When I begin to understand that coming to Jesus, I find rest. Intimacy with Jesus, there is rest. There is rest in the soul. Oh, man, it's the love of Jesus that sets me free. It's the love of Jesus. Not my fear of not performing well enough. Not my fear of, did I cross the boundary of that tent? Did I go in and get the showbread? Is God going to strike me dead? Am I picking grain in a cornfield on the Sabbath? Am I meeting all the standards I'm supposed to be meeting? Wait. My heart's fulfilled. With what? With the fact that God loves an imperfect, ungodly sinner like me. My heart is full of His love. This is why the Apostle Paul would pray for the Ephesian Christians, and he would say, this is the reason I bow my knee for you. I pray that you might come to know the love of God, which is unknowable, that you, along with all the saints, might know what is the height and the depth and the width and the breadth, the love of God for your soul, that you might be filled up with God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think, it is to Him that I offer this prayer for you. Let me tell you something. When you begin to understand that Jesus is your contentment, Jesus is your contentment. And what He has done for you sets you free, and His love for you is without conditions. Wow, man, you are fulfilled. And so listen to me, ladies, gentlemen, listen to me. You can stop looking for the love and acceptance of your spouse in order to find fulfillment, because you have found your soul's rest in Jesus Christ. I had a gentleman after the early service. He's been coming to our church for about 8 years. Really nice guy. And he's got some marriage problems. I told him I would help him, and he wanted me to pray for him. He wanted me to pray for his marriage. And I said, well, tell me, what do you want me to pray about? And he said, well, I really need my wife to come back. I really need my wife to be with me. I really need this. And I said, wait, stop. Why don't I pray for you? Why don't I pray that God will fill your heart so much with His love that you will come to the place where you no longer need the love of your wife? Because if you ever find your fulfillment in Jesus, then when your wife has nothing to give, you can love her like Hosea loved Gomer. But if your heart is empty of the love of Jesus, you will always demand your wife perform in order for you to feel good about where you're at. He said, oh, I get it. I understand this is about me and Jesus, isn't it? I said, yeah. And so I prayed with him. And you know what? He said, I see what you're saying. When Jesus strengthens me because I find my rest in him, then I can love my wife wherever she is. You get it. It's the greatest message that could ever be shouted from the rooftops. The love of God, which fills your heart, spills out in love for others. You live, you love, you laugh, because there is a fulfillment in Jesus. I'm fearless. I'm without fear. I don't fear what's going to happen to me tomorrow. I don't fear what's going to happen to me this afternoon. I'm without fear. Why? Because I know Jesus, and my contentment is in him. I know who he is and what he's done. I see that all the rest that the laws point to, I find in him. Oh. Now, folks, listen. The hardest work in my soul is looking to Jesus for satisfaction and not to others. I make it sound so easy, don't I? Of course I do. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. The writer of Hebrews says, let us labor to enter this rest. Do you know why it's hard? The religious people around me will tell me it's all about my performance. That's all you ever hear when you go to church. It's all about you living up to the expectations and performance of the people who are religious and who are around you. And man, it's tough when you go to church and everybody expects you to look like they do, talk like they do, act like they do. A guy shows up with a little longer hair. A guy shows up that in our culture doesn't really fit. You know, it's almost we send the message. We send the message. You're not welcome because you're not like us. I'll never forget the first time Jeff Van Vonderen ever spoke here at Emmanuel. Jeff Van Vonderen has written a couple of great books, Families Where Grace Is in Place, Tired of Trying to Measure Up, the best book on overcoming alcohol dependency that I've ever read, and it's written for families of alcoholics as well. Jeff Van Vonderen was sitting over here, and I was beside him as during the worship time, and I noticed he was fiddling with his ear, and I wondered what he was doing. I looked, and he was taking his earring out. And I said, what are you doing, Jeff? He said, well, I'm removing my earring. I forgot I had it in. I said, do you wear the earring every day? He said, yes. I said, well, why are you removing it here? He said, well, you know, I don't want people to stumble when I speak because they see an earring in my ear. I said, Jeff, leave the earring in your ear. He said, what? I said, leave it in your ear. I said, why? I said, because I need to know who it is that is bothered by the earring in your ear. I found out. And it's okay to be bothered. But I'm not going to create a climate where a guy who wears an earring every day of his life steps up on this stage and takes it out because he's got to conform to the way we want him to be. I'm going to create a climate where people understand our acceptance is in Jesus. And if you're pointing at another person and saying, I don't like that about you, then you have not found soul satisfaction in Jesus Christ. The flesh patterns within me, I mean, they'll scream. They'll scream. They'll tell me it's all about my performance. Listen, that's true of all of us. You can't go to work and not perform. You'll be fired. You can't be an athlete and not perform. You'll be sitting on the bench. The entire world is based on performance. Except the gospel. And when Jesus rattled the cage of the Pharisees, they were pointing to him. They were pointing him to the Mishnah, the oral law. He did them one better. He pointed to the Mosaic law. And then he said, I am the Lord of rest. The world about me will mitigate against me finding true rest in Jesus Christ. The world about me You talk to people about Jesus and loving Him and following Him, they'll laugh at you. Why? Well, if you're an actor, it's got to be your skin. It's got to be your smile. It's got to be your newest movie. It's got to be you, your performance. You talk to people about Jesus and finding your soul contentment in Him, they'll look at you cross-eyed. But when you find your rest in Jesus and you become comfortable in your skin and you realize that the favor and love and blessing of God is not dependent upon your performance and it is all dependent upon Jesus and He has accomplished everything for you and He loves you and He died for you and He's now at work in you and all He says to you is, come, follow Me. When you find your contentment in Jesus and realize that your failure and your imperfections and your mistakes and your slip-ups and your crashes, they don't affect Jesus. He's right there with you, picking you up. That's what I died for. Come on, let's go. Come on, I love you. It's all right. You're not scarring me. I don't need you. You need Me. I'm here for you. Man, when your heart is filled with that sense of fulfillment, when you understand who you are, when every fear in this life is taken away, fear of condemnation, fear of rejection, fear of death, it's all gone. Because Jesus has given you rest. Then you become a magnet for people. They look at you, broken, weary, and they say, I want what you have. And you tell them, listen, it's Jesus. And when they fail, you're not pointing your finger at them. How can you? How can you? Their rest is not found in their performance. It's found in Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. So you're right there with them as they struggle with their homosexual tendencies. You're right there with them as they struggle with their addictions. You're right there with them. You're not shaking your finger at them because they're grinding corn on the Sabbath. You're not saying, why are you doing that which is unlawful? Because you're at rest. You're at rest. And you free everybody up around you to find Jesus where they are, not where you want them to be. You say, Pastor, I don't understand this. I really don't get it. Well, I would just ask that you think through it. Because remember in this parable, this story, this anecdote, it's actual fact. The Pharisees were accusing Jesus of being a lawbreaker. And He one-upped them and showed them David. And basically said, as long as you look to your performance to find rest, you will die in your sins. But come to Me. And I will give you rest. Will you come to Him today? Let's pray.